Forever Dog.
I am the number one most impactful artist of our generation.
I better find your loving. I better find your heart. I better find your loving. I better find your heart. I better find that all my love and nothing's gonna tear us apart.
What's up, everybody? This is the Bookie A podcast. We're gonna, as you can tell, Rob has already taken his subtle jabs at what he's mad about this time. Jesus.
You know what's funny? They don't know. Is that I just rapped Comeback Baby by Pusha T. So y'all thought that was the verse I was going to do. But then I decided that, you know, Kanye and No ID wrote a song for Rihanna. And then somebody else decided that it needed to be a single on their album, you know? Anyway.
Sounds like a real collaborative effort, if you ask me. Just wish we could have more of that. But here we are. We can't have nothing good, I can tell. That's all I know is we can't have nothing good. Except
before we get into all that nonsense, let me just tell y'all out there that have been saying that I be nerd shaming Chris. We're both nerds.
That was one person.
This is a hip hop podcast for hip hop.
This is a nerd podcast in a way.
The way I go about being a fan of Kanye West is the most nerdy of ways. I'm trying to find all the information and let you know that I know as much information as I have possibly could have consumed. Ain't nothing more nerdy than that. Also, that being said, I saw Solo and somebody else did not.
Because Solo is a pointless movie to like rush to see. It's not
what
art.
You mean? How's it pointless to rush to see? If you read Star Wars books, they are pointless. You already know what's gonna happen all the time. You know what I'm saying?
I don't need to know the night it comes out how Solo got his belt or whatever fucking secret they need you to know. Like, I don't care. They should have made the Lando movie. That was a smart
thing. First of all, if you watch Solo, then you see that this Lando, first the way they do Lando, I don't know if you're going to really, really be happy about a Lando movie.
Oh, great. Now I really want to see it. Fuck.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm curious to see how, unless it's about how he became the mayor of Cloud City. I do kind of want to know how he got to Cloud City. But at the same time, Solo was a good movie, man. And y'all out there, you know what I'm saying? People be out there making it seem like I be teasing you too hard. Like, I be teasing you because you be off. We be Whoa. On topic, and then you go on a tangent about, you know what I'm saying, Dragon Ball Z and stuff, and we don't necessarily
You the
need
king
that
of tangents. All you do is go left every time.
Hey, man, sometimes, well, that's where the navigation say to go, man. It say to go left, man. You know what I'm saying? Hey, man.
Stop adding all these extra elements that nobody even said anything about.
Anyway, we got a lot to talk about this episode. These people have been patiently waiting for this episode. We're going to try to put out episodes for each album as they come out. Before we talk about the album that came out this past Friday, we got to talk about this homeless man that got a chance to talk to Andrew Martinez and Lil Pump last week.
Why you got to do this, man?
What you mean?
You can't be happy about nothing.
What you mean? You talking about this man that would be cosplaying Bob Marley got to talk to Andrew Martinez.
Listen, one day J. Cole will figure out what to do with his dreads. I hope, you know. I don't know what's going on.
It's the same thing. The way that people be putting on chains and be putting on their jewelry, J. Cole's doing the same thing. It's all the same thing. This man had the nerve to have a Bob Marley book on the table when he's doing the interview. Nobody's reading books during the interview. Then he had a shirt that said Jamaica.
It's for aesthetics.
Then it said Jamaica Queens on it. You know what I'm saying? Just so that nobody was like, you false claiming Jamaica. You ain't never been to Jamaica. So he made sure his shirt said Jamaica in big letters, Queens in small letters. You got to pay attention to the details. J. Cole, he's a smart guy. He ain't gonna let you catch him slipping, but we see what you up to, J. Cole. So anyway, J. Cole is going to say in this interview that he doesn't feel comfortable talking about people in public, and he felt some type of way about Kanye posting a screenshot that they were on the phone. Last time I checked, a song is public. A video for that song is public, right or wrong. 1985 is public, right or wrong.
It's also art.
False Prophets is public.
He's also like, art.
It was just a verse. It was just a verse. The song is called False Prophet.
He told you what the song was about in the interview. Just because you didn't like this one part don't mean you can ignore the rest.
One part?
He told you the song was about idol worship. He gave you examples to put it in a bigger context from his perspective.
Come on, man. This man is specifically talking about Kanye West.
Bro, he says part of the song applies to Kanye West.
He's talking about, okay, that's ridiculous to be like, okay, he was talking about Kanye West. No, one part of the song was talking about Kanye West. Yeah, okay, it was still talking about Kanye in public, in a video, on a bus. We saw you.
Dog, it's his perspective as a fan. He told you straight up. He's a fan of the dude. He can talk about his relationship with another artist just because you get all sentimental about it and get all sensitive.
I like that.
It is like that. This is why you started the podcast like this.
Ain't nobody thinking about this interview but you,
because you've been holding this in for 2.5 weeks.
No. Well, that don't got nothing to do with people. Definitely was thinking about this interview, first of all. Second of all, The theme of this episode, if we gonna make a theme for this episode, is speak about what you know about. Okay, what J. Cole was doing is speaking from a distance. Was J. Cole in Hawaii? I don't know. I'm not sure. He was on a Good Friday track, but email was invented at that time. Was J. Cole in Europe? Was J. Cole in Wyoming? I don't know if he was any of those places. So he's speaking from a distance, the same distance that we're speaking from, right?
No.
We're going to get to somebody in the future, later on this episode, who's actually speaking from, you know, up close. But right now, we're talking about J. Cole, who was speaking from a distance.
He's not, look, dog, it's his perspective. His fan perspective.
No one asked him about.
Dog, nobody asked him to put out any song at all. He still put it out. Nobody asked for shit. You put out what you want to put out. He's like, this is how I feel as an artist and as a fan.
You put out what you want to put out, so stand behind what you put out.
He did stand behind it.
No, he didn't.
He never backed away from it.
Well, I mean, only part of the song was about Kanye.
Part of the song was about Kanye.
I felt some type of way about you, you know, making a screenshot of our conversation and blah, blah, blah.
At no point in the interview did he say Kanye or anybody couldn't feel a certain way about the song. Him, Wale, anybody can feel how they want to feel.
Man. You making excuses.
Ain't nobody making excuses. You just want to get extra mad.
I'm not extra mad.
You want to equate it to Kanye calling J. Cole to talk about, first of all,
J. Cole, on 95% of that interview, I agree with J. Cole. The only part I disagreed was when it felt like he was backpedaling when it came to False Prophets. First of all, he said that when the song was created, Kanye was not in the hospital, but Kanye was clearly hospitalized while the song was released. And he said the song was going to come out, it was still going to come out. Who makes that decision?
What day did it come out? Was he definitely in the hospital?
Yes, that was talked about in the interview. And yes, dates are real. Like, you could look it up when it came out. It came out in December. He was in the hospital in December. I mean, like, I don't understand why we can't hold J. Cole responsible for anything because he's quote unquote savior and whatnot.
I mean, he's saying, like, Kanye's like, calling him and telling him to like hold him accountable. So why are we even talking about, you know, holding J. Cole to anything right now? If Kanye's calling him, asking him to hold him accountable.
Okay, but that don't got nothing to do with J. Cole.
Obviously, Kanye,
whatever the hell he wants.
Obviously, Kanye ain't that peeve. Huh?
That don't got nothing to do with J. Cole getting to do whatever the hell he wants to do because he don't comb his hair.
See?
Nothing to do. This man wears sweatshorts and makes songs about
doing laundry. I'm not gonna try to vouch for any statement as far as hair or clothes that J. Cole tries to make. I don't really get what's going on or why he dresses like that.
Okay, because you got them dreads and you got them shorts.
My dread's neat, dog. My dread's neat. Get out of here with that.
Oh, so now you're not even trying to claim the dreads.
I claim dreads that look like, you know, you knew what you was doing when you woke up in the morning.
Gemini season started. All these albums coming out Gemini season. We popping, you know what I'm saying? Your boy's birthday Thursday. Kanye drop on Friday, last Friday. Let's talk about Daytona.
Let's talk about it, because that's a great album.
A great album. Unfortunately, I was driving to Huntsville at 5:30. I put the album on. The album ended at about 5:51. At about 6 o'clock, I got a text from one of my friends of the Duffy Freestyle. So basically, I only had.
Oh, you didn't even get to process.
I didn't even get to enjoy this album. Like, I'm like, Spotify is just playing random songs after the album's done. It played Down and Out by Cameron, and then boom, Duffy Freestyle. So I didn't get to have all morning with the album like some people.
That's terrible. So
yeah,
because it shouldn't take away.
Kanye West. Anytime that he used the line from Jay-Z, he gave Jay-Z writing credit on it. Have you noticed this? Sean Carter is credited with writing on two songs, "The Games We Play" and on Infrared. And unfortunately, that Sean Carter line on Infrared was flipped, but we gonna get to that later. What'd you think of the album?
I thought that it was probably, it's like the perfect example of like craftsmanship. And maybe that sounds weird, but like, it's like, okay, this is what Pusha T does. This is what Pusha T does better than anybody. And it's just like condensed into like, there's no fat on this. It's just
There better not be no fattest seven tracks.
It's just that I love how it starts off with him just going like a cappella, and the next thing you know, the beat drops, and it's just like, yeah, you get the same type fire for fucking 20 minutes, and that's it. And you go be in, and you go be out, and that's it. It's dope. And it's not, I mean, I don't know. It's just like, I feel like some people, if you expect too much, like extra stuff, like if you're one of those people who like, no, why is he got to talk about cocaine all the time? Like, well, you didn't know what kind of party this was. You knew what it was when it started, and you knew how it was
going. You knew what it was. First of all, you knew what it was when you saw them disrespect Whitney Houston. You knew what it was.
Oh, I didn't know you were going to go. I didn't know you were going to go there right off the bat.
What you mean?
It wasn't a mirror
on you because of you defending Lorde, you know. So now y'all going to really disrespect Whitney Houston like this. I predict something.
Ain't no y'all. I mean, are we gonna blame Pusha for this one? It sounds like it was an executive decision from up top.
Pusha, you don't think he had nothing to do with it?
He said his story. Do you believe his story that Kanye was like, this should be the album cover. Just do it. I paid $85,000 for this.
I believe that all the album covers are going to be crazy. I believe that, like, they're related in the amount of tracks. They're supposed to be related in the amount of tracks. And I believe that the covers are all going to be insane and extravagant. Now, Kanye said that his album cover was going to be a picture of the doctor, you know?
Doctor said no.
So maybe there's a tabloid thing. Maybe there's some sort of, you know, there's some sort of celebrity death theme. Maybe there's some sort of, you know, we don't really know because this is the first one.
I thought the album cover for Kitsy Ghost was already out. Or was that just like some artwork?
A sketch was out. By Takashi Murakami that did the album artwork for Graduation. Okay. So, you know, and we don't know if that's going to have multiple. We don't know who the ghosts are. We don't know if some of the stuff that we see earlier is going to show back up in that album artwork. We don't know. You know, that one is like the wild card. We don't know what that one's going to do. But as far as this one and this album cover, I feel like that karma came real quick, you know. If you know, you know. They know. You know, I mean, I think I really enjoyed a lot of the songs on this album. I enjoy Hard Piano. I enjoy Come Back Baby.
Come Back Baby is like, it's like nobody's favorite, but it's my favorite.
It's my favorite too.
Oh shit. All right.
Yeah.
Dog, nobody.
I don't know why. I was seeing people rank the songs and
it was last on everybody's.
Yeah.
On a lot of people.
First of all, why y'all ranking 7 tracks? That's silly. But then also, why you don't have Come Back Baby higher? I don't understand. Like, the flow on that is so much fun.
Dog, the way the beat goes in and out is.
Come on.
That shit's hype. I think Come Back Baby, Santeria and Hard Piano, that might be like around like my favorite, just like, cause those go.
I like What Would Meek Do.
I mean, I know why you like What Would Meek Do.
Scoop.
Whoop.
Scoop. Whoop.
Whoop, whoop, whoop. That was the first time we got a whoop, whoop, whoop.
That was great.
Oh, man. I mean, I don't know, man. It's just a great body of work. I was like, I mean, I know we went in on like, we didn't go in on Designer. We were like, yo, Designer's album 21 minutes, perfect. And I didn't know he was part of the formula.
Hey, man, yo, Designer come out winning always, man. You know what I'm saying?
He never lost.
Designer never lost, really. You know what I'm saying? Lonzo Ball could learn something from Designer. You know what I'm saying?
Don't like, encourage Lonzo's
like,
rapping.
Like LeVar Ball. Designer never lost. You know what I'm saying? All right, let's get into this infrared.
Please do, because I feel like this is where the weekend just went left. Super left.
This all people wanted to talk about when Pusha did the radio. Pusha ain't been on radio in a minute. You know what I'm saying? Normally, they asked him to freestyle. They did not ask him to freestyle this time. They just wanted to talk to him about why is he snapping at Drake.
And they asked him that. I mean, like, nobody really had a chance. No, I feel like when they did the interview, nobody even had a chance to really, like, go in on the album yet. So it's like, y'all led
with
this.
Yeah, so everybody was like, yeah, this is the last track on the album, blah, blah, blah. You know, like, Hot 97, they playing the song on the radio. So we don't even really know, you know, like, you can't separate Daytona from this disc. It's not like back in the day you get the album, you'd open it, you'd be like, oh, man, you know, Rick Ross talking about 50 Cent on the first track. Is he going to talk about 50 Cent on every track? Nah, this is an R&B record. Oh, yeah, man. You know? we didn't even know, you know? So, okay, I feel like I'm a little confused.
But
I was a little confused because I felt like when he was saying, at first I was confused. I forgot about Exodus when I was listening to this. And I forgot about two birds, one stone. So I'm like, why is he going at Drake when he's always had a problem with Wayne? But now it's like, okay, you know, we get into the root of it. And it's like, oh, he had a problem with Wayne. And his way of snapping at Wayne was talking about Wayne making his money, being signed to a dude, assigned to a dude, blah, blah, blah. You know, that was his shots at Wayne and Drake. And now it's like, okay, when Rick Ross talked about the situation, then it's like, you know, he feels validated. Because at first, for me, it felt like it was out of nowhere, but now it's not, you know. And people act like More Life was years ago. More Life was only a year ago. Mm-hmm. More Life was last year. More Life was like, you know, April, May of 2017.
I feel like it's just a lot of stuff that's like, over 10 years the shit. They're like, I don't even know half the shit. Like when people try to explain to me how far back it was, I was like, what? Like this goes, this is like seasons of Pusha T having beef with everybody. I don't even, I mean,
well,
some of you know.
Here's the thing. Pusha T has always been on someone else's timeline. Whether it's been issues with Star Trek and them getting their artists out, whether it's been issues with, you know, Def Jam and, you know, release dates and stuff, Pusha T has always been on someone else's timeline. But we live in an era of SoundCloud. We live in an era where you could put out a song and it could get to the people. Now, whether you get money for it, that's another thing. But it can definitely get to the people. So in the song, he shoots, it's produced by Kanye, first of all. Drake was in Wyoming. Do you think Drake heard the song before Friday, Thursday?
I think he heard it when it leaked. I don't know why he would have heard it before, like in Wyoming. I've heard people like theorize that though. I've heard people say something along the lines of that this is all kind of a big tactical thing masterminded by Kanye West from that angle. I'm not sure if that's where you're going, but I have heard that conspiracy theory.
I mean, I think that, okay, if he's in Wyoming, Drake was definitely in Wyoming.
Yeah, yeah, we know that.
40 was definitely in Wyoming, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, I feel like there's a chance he could have heard it. Now, here's my thing about Pusha. Speak on what you know about. Pusha really doesn't say anything about Drake that was not already unraveled in the Meek Mill Drake beat. He's talking about Quentin Miller. He's talking about ghostwriters, reference tracks, all stuff that we went through in 2015. He's talking about stuff that predates Two Birds, One Stone.
I mean, I don't get right? it. I mean, it just, yeah, he is. I see like, you know, why he might want to, but the timing is just like, it's just weird.
The timing is weird. And like I said, Push is always seems like he's on someone else's time.
Though he did say that his album was done over a year ago.
He did say the album was done over
a year ago. So we don't know how much of this is like left over from that. Maybe he did want to say something, you know, year and a half ago, and then they're just like, let's just go to work on everything. I'm glad they redid everything because the beats is fire, but you know, now we got Duppy.
Now we have Duppy. Now I get Duppy in a text message. I put it on immediately. You know what I'm saying? I kind of felt like I knew what it was. I didn't know it was gonna hurt me personally. But I knew that what it was going to be. Drake starts out, he says, I'm in shock, okay? I don't really know too many men to, like, just start off anything like that.
It's a very emotional start.
But I was interested. You know what I'm saying? I'm in shock. You know what I'm saying? The nerve, the audacity. Like,
super
it's like,
dramatic.
Man,
which is super Drake, though.
What happened to you? Yeah.
And then we get the sigh. Just like you drank some flat Sprite and you're so disappointed. There's no fizz. Is it very
now Drake is very smart about the way that he does this. Because Drake goes about battles in ways that's not gonna mess up none of his endorsements. Drake is not gonna curse at you. He's not gonna raise his voice.
Did he curse once in this?
He said a couple, yes he did.
But you don't, like, if you think on it, if somebody was like, I don't think he cursed once, you'd probably be like, yeah, I don't remember, like, off the bat.
Yeah, he ain't do a lot of cursing.
It's not, I don't
he's
think
he's not
it's,
gonna really call you names.
Nah, it's, like, know? Not mean, it's just, like,
he go more highbrow than Michelle Wolf. He not even gonna talk about your looks. He's just gonna talk about events that happen that's gonna make you look bad.
Pretty much.
He said,
if Roseanne had listened to this, she might still have a show.
Huh?
Oh, maybe that's too recent. I was like, if Roseanne had kind of gone Drake's route, she might still have a show.
Hey, man. Hey, Kanye better be watching this Roseanne situation.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Hey, Twitter.
They got her out the paint.
Lose it all immediately.
She's out.
I'm like, ooh. I didn't even know it could happen that fast. I'm like, man, somebody better tell Kanye all about this. Okay. The line that got me, the first line that got me was like, what do you really think about the nigga that's making your beats? Which is a way of saying, you know, I'm Canadian. I'm not going to get into all this MAGA hat stuff. But what do you think about it? You know what I'm saying? Like, what do you think about the man that's making your beats? It sounds like a heckling. You know what I'm saying? It sounds like he's outside. Like, what do you think about the man that's making your beats? Like, I mean, to me.
Go ahead.
To me, that was, and then them, ooh, father had to stretch my hands to get it from me. I popped style for 30 outers and let him repeat. Come on, man. Come on, man.
It's like still like not like the meanest he could have been. It's weird. It's like he wasn't trying to crush. I feel like Drake is so tired of talking about like the ghostwriting shit.
Yeah, but he aimed all the ghostwriting stuff at Kanye.
Because he needed some like way to like, it is weird because it sounds like more harsh towards Kanye than Pusha T this whole thing does, really. Except for maybe one part specifically for me. But like he just wanted to like call out the hypocrisy of it all, that Kanye got the most shots. And then he just realized, oh, this is my easiest target right here.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if that'll backfire or not, but I mean, we ain't got nothing back from Pusha T so far, so.
You might have sold the college kids for Nikes and Mercedes, but you act like you sold drugs for Escobar in the 80s. Drake's funny, man.
That was the one that probably hit the heart, like one of the hardest for me, because I was just like, damn, he watched Narcos. He knows it's only two
seasons.
But
the thing is, if you really listen to Pusha T, you know that was like, you know what I'm saying? You know Pusha T puts all kind of like references to pop culture and drugs dealing in pop culture in his music, you know, to the point where
he communicates the best.
Yeah. So it's like, it's just funny that he was able to, you know, play with you at your own game.
That's a chess move, because the next one, you know, you can't lean on it. You can't lean on too many Coke references.
Yeah.
I feel like he didn't pin him in the corner, but he definitely was like, okay, I'm going to take away one of your arms and see if you can beat me now.
As far as Q, I changed his life a couple of times. First of all, I don't even know that could happen. Once you change somebody's life one time, how does his life go back bad for you to change it again? You know what I'm saying? I really would like to know more about that story. But then he said he was working at Kroger double time. Now I don't know. I don't think that's true.
It was a Publix.
It was a Publix. But see, Drake is all about specificity. You know what I'm saying? Drake wants you to know that he's been to Atlanta. So he's going to say Kroger because he knows that, you know what I'm saying? Like Kroger sounds like a rougher job than working at Publix. It do. You know what I'm saying? Publix is well lit. You know, they miss their vegetables and stuff. Ain't no mister at Kroger. You are the mister if you work at Kroger. You know what I'm saying? Like Drake did that on purpose. He's letting you know, like, I done spend time in Atlanta.
I mean, I don't really know too much about Publix, but is it that much nicer than Kroger? What the fuck is going on?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Kroger didn't rhyme. Kroger wasn't at the end of the bar. You know what I'm saying? He said Kroger so that people in Atlanta was like, all right, Drake, you know. Just like you talked about the Hooters on Peachtree. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes he be doing that. Drake is a real specific person,
I think.
But then he flipped that Jay-Z line. He said, my hooks did it. My lyrics did it. My spirit did it. I'm fearless with it. I ain't even know his spirit was doing it. I listen to Drake music. This song hurt me, but at the same time, I had to give it to him because he was snapping. You know what I'm saying?
We gotta call him out on one line though, when he's like, I really shouldn't give you none of my time because you're older than the nigga you're running behind. Man, when they looked it up and fucking Kanye and Pusha T, it's like a month and a half difference between these two.
Yes, Okay, but
but what?
But think about the class. Think about when Lord Willing came out and when, you know, when good music started.
We can say that.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you OG Star Trek, you already was solidified in the game. You already was what happened to that boy before Kanye came back. I mean, before Kanye came out. You know what I'm saying? I think that's more what he was speaking to than, like, you know, I associate you with O2. I associate him with O3. And now you know me. Turning O2 into the O3. We got to talk about this whole, I can never have a Virgil in my circle and hold him back because he makes me nervous. I want to see my brothers flourish to the higher purpose. Leeches and serpents. I think it's good now that the teachers are learning. Oh, man. Ah. Whew, man. Do you believe that? Is that, now to me, that was him being like, okay, I want to speak on this, but, you know, it's like, it's going to be weird. Ye and Drake are Adidas, you know what I'm saying? Like, Drake just left Nike, but he want to let Kanye know, like, yo, I don't know how much he really would know about that situation.
I think he's just going off in the news.
Yeah, so what I'm thinking is he wrote this around the time, or started formulating this around the time that article came out.
Oh, the one with that architect designer?
Yeah.
But even that was like, it's so subtle. It's like, you know, like that stuff, like, you don't really know about.
Like, we how much, know about it. No, we talked about it on the podcast.
No, I'm talking about how much does Drake know about it? When he's talking, like, that's...
Exactly. That's, but we don't know. Does he know about it at all, or does he not know about it? We don't know.
Or he's just looking, you know? He just looking to hit you where it hurts.
Or is he looking to hit you where it hurts?
Regardless of accuracy, you know? At a certain point, you can just, you know... If it sounds harsh enough, who cares how much you really know about it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just give him credit because... It's
the average hip hop fan is not gonna know whether that's true or not.
No,
and it's not gonna matter to them. They're gonna take that as fact. You know what I'm saying? Like, they know who Virgil is based off of what he's done, but they don't know that, like, okay, Off-White is from Pyrex. Pyrex, you know, was all started while Kanye and Virgil were working closest together. You know, RSVP Gallery, which is, you know, the store started in Chicago, was the only place you could buy Pyrex. You know, like it's not like Off-White was just like hindered and stiff on. Nah. So the only person who would be able to clear that up is Virgil. And Virgil's busy.
I mean, yeah, I doubt we even hear from him about this. I mean, at this point, I'm just more concerned with,
we'll,
like,
hear about it from him, you know, the way the internet works. We'll hear about it from him 10 years from now. We won't hear about it from him when we want to hear about it.
Right. We just need pushes and smiles. Oh, actually, you know what? I think here's the most damaging thing and the meanest thing Drake ever did or said in this. It's just... Tell Ye we got an invoice coming to you, considering we just sold another 20 for you. Man. And then he sends an actual invoice to Push. That's disrespectful, not even just to Push. Like, somebody had to make that. This is whatever OVO, like, accounts managers or whatever, the dude's in charge of the numbers. He's like, yo, make this invoice for me and print it and send it. That goes on the books.
Yeah, they and shout out to whoever did it, because now I have Good Music's address, and I've been sending them letters every day since the song came out, so I appreciate that. I've been sending resumes, I've been sending all kind of stuff, headshots, I've been sending, hey, they, I don't know who did this, but they better change their address, because, hey, I'm going up there as soon as possible. They need to put the floor, that's the only thing. Because they'd be like, what floor you need to go to? Like,
oh, yeah.
Good music, Def Jam.
Who you?
So, yeah.
You know what floor?
Once I find out what floor they on, it's a wrap.
It's over for you, hoes. I feel like, all right, so you, if we, I feel like we're on a timeline now. So if we go timeline from Duppy, the next string in the timeline is out
of. Well, the invoice is next.
The invoice is next. And then out of nowhere, probably.
Out of nowhere.
The least suspected entrant into this whole thing, Rhymefest appears. I didn't even know Rhymefest had Twitter.
That's when you know you got a good diss record. Ain't nobody appearing out of nowhere off no OE. Charged Up didn't have nobody be like, you know what? And you know what else? Meek, your phone is on 0% battery. You know what I'm saying? Nobody was worried about Charged Up. This is how you know this is a official, you know, diss record is when somebody... had nothing to do with
WWE the song. Style shit, really.
Nothing to do with Pusha T. Yeah. Here comes Rhymefest with a steel chair and like, hey, OVO, after you get the money from this invoice, can you pay that money to Donda's house? There's so much wrong with that.
Yeah. We like, regardless, I mean, I know there's a lot of stuff that happened after, but regardless, like, I think we both agree. What the fuck are you doing, Rhymefest? Like, this is not, you know, especially if you're, I get he was probably coming from like an emotional, angry place or whatever. But if you're supposed to be the head of this organization, first of all, you can't, this is too out of pocket. This is not how you like do business.
Honestly, it just brings more attention to, you know, like, it's one of those things where you feel like, okay, maybe this is the only way Rhymefest felt like he could bring attention to Donda's house.
And that I understand, but still, you know.
But a part of that is because it's Rhymefest, because of other things that he's done, other times that he's been critical of Kanye West, other things he's said about Kanye West. Here's the thing. Are we going to get into it now? Or are we going to talk about the response?
Let's do the response first.
Okay. So the response is from Kim Kardashian,
who's also out of pocket, but we'll go ahead.
Who goes on a rant and basically says that Rhymefest, you have not been right since you got kicked out of the studio in Hawaii for wearing fake Yeezys.
I mean, it's already off to a bad start.
Yes.
it's already not looking good. I think more than anything, that was the probably... You know what? No, just keep going, because before we even, let's just address it all at once. Because she goes there, and then she said, then she's like, "You were at the studio a few weeks ago. Why didn't you bring it up then?" And then she says, "You were trying to get Kanye to listen to your subpar beats, and you have the audacity to use Kanye's mom's name to try to shed light. She spelled shed wrong on shed a negative light on Kanye." I think at this point is probably where I start to think Kanye has the phone. And it ain't even her. But we'll keep going. She says that you didn't say this when Kanye paid you up front and then you disappeared during Pablo. Then she hashtags real friends. I'm just because we're almost done with like the first part of her response. Then she says she's going to make it her mission to take down his house from you and let her children run it the way it should be run. And she said, your flight is canceled to Wyoming. You thought you were really worthy to be on this album. Sorry to all my followers who I know you don't have any idea who Rhymefest is.
Okay. She went to Chris route and started talking about kids, and that really like ruined.
Fuck me, man! God damn it!
You know, it's like,
what was the streak? How many episodes did we make it? How many episodes did we make it before you had to bring that old shit back up? I think 4 or 5. I was living so good.
Hey, I speak on what I know about, man.
Shut up, man.
You know what I'm saying? And I know you be talking about people's kids. So, yeah.
Get to the facts, Rap.
All right, man. So I'm confused. Ryan Fest was kicked out of the studio in Hawaii. Is this 808s? Easy Ones? Is this My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy? Is this another, like, you know, I don't know when they, if they went back to Hawaii or when they were in Hawaii again, but okay. That aside, he got kicked out of the studio in Hawaii, right? He got ghost, they said. They paid him and he got ghost Pablo time, right? That's like 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? A little over 2 years ago. Why is he around recently? He said anti-Kanye stuff recently. Like, if you paid him, he went ghost. Why is he around recently? And, okay, to me, it's like, okay, Ryan Fest, if you've been critical of somebody, why would you come around? You know, why would you come around? Why would you go to Wyoming? Why would you, you know, be around for the preparation of this album if it's not just for the check? To me, that takes away from your credibility a whole lot, because it's been public knowledge now. You've been tweeting about it now. You've known about it now, and now you're still coming around. Maybe the kicking out of the studio is about more than just fake Yeezys, but maybe it's about embarrassing somebody who is embarrassing you. Maybe it was already like, you know, we going to see if you really going to come down here after you done said what you said. You really came around, you know.
But we've seen Kanye do that, though. I mean, like, think about this. And granted, this is one extreme. And then think about what we've seen in the past, like, month or so with somebody like John Legend, you know, who obviously, you know, doesn't agree with Kanye. Will voice his disagreement, and Kanye will just put your shit on Twitter behind you, even though you didn't expect it, and just be like, nah, sorry, you just trying to fuck with my free thought, and then we, you know, they'll still hug it out later. Maybe that's just like the relationship he has with his people. But
I think that's different because they at each other's house. It's not like they're flying to a location. They went over John Legend's house. That's different. Kim and Chrissy Teigen have a relationship. That's completely different than what's going on with Ryan Fest. What I think what's going on with Ryan Fest is, first of all, Ryan Fest is a collaborator writer on Kanye West from the beginning, from the demo tapes, from early on. You know, they've worked together from the very beginning, maybe even before Kanye even moved to New Jersey. When Kanye's in Chicago. Now, notice on our podcast, Really Doe didn't talk about Ryan Fest. He didn't bring up Ryan Fest. He just brought up himself in GLC, you know, and that was around the time Ryan Fest was speaking out. Now, Ryan Fest was fine with the role of in Good Music or the role in Kanye West's trajectory as being a writer until streaming. This whole time we've always talked about, where does the streaming money go? How are we only paying $10 and people are, you know, making all this money, Lil Yachty's making all this money? Well, Ryan Fest was one of the people who spoke out, who said they're shortchanging the writers. The writers' cut has went down tremendously. I am not getting the same cut I was getting before. So before, Ryan Fest was okay as being, you know, in the public eye as a writer, because he was at least getting compensated for being a writer. But now, with streaming, with Tidal, with Spotify, with Apple Music, he's not getting paid like he was getting paid before. Now we hear Ryan Fest. Now Ryan Fest has something to say. Now Ryan Fest is trying to boost his profile because it's financially beneficial. So people click on his song. So people try to figure out who he is.
Wait.
And that takes away from, you know, the mystique, the lure of Kanye, and that also takes away from his credibility.
I think that's a little too much assumption. Like,
what do you mean?
I'm talking about why he inserted himself.
What do you mean? There's a diss track that comes out on Friday, and on Friday you tweet out something that doesn't even really make sense. But when you get the money from the invoice is part of this rap battle. You know, the internet's all about being timely. Rhymefest tweets that money should go to Donda's house.
Yeah.
But I'm not just... from the Donda's house account, from the Rhymefest account. It's not like Donda's house tweeted.
Well, Donda's
that
would have
been a totally different thing.
Donda's house is a lot more than Rhymefest. People got to remember
exactly.
That.
And that is apparent. That is apparent. Whether what's being said is true or not, whether what's happening with Donda's house is true or not, Rhymefest is not the most credible source.
I think there's a difference between, you know, is he credible as far as knowing what's going on with Donda's house? Yes. Is he credible as probably being the only one who can talk to Kanye, like one of his boys? Yes. And did what's going on with Donda's house and how he feels about his boy kind of come to a head at the same time? Probably. Has it probably come to a head before? Almost definitely. There's some things that, you know, we can't deny, because he responded to Kim Kardashian and he explained how his history with the organization, where the organization is, what their mission is, how she and Kanye have not been present, even though, you know, Kanye sort of officially got out a few years ago. And, you know, him and the organization probably hoped, well, maybe he won't be here in person, boots on the ground kind of guy, because they do boots on the ground work. They could probably hope for maybe support in other ways, mainly financially, and they're not getting it. And the thing is about that is we're talking about what people know, what we do and don't know. The numbers, this is a nonprofit. The numbers are there. So there's a public record. We can see when Kanye last donated. We can see how much he last donated. We know that came from.
Have you looked that up?
Yes. People have looked it up just specifically for that reason. The last time he made it like an
official.
What
did they say?
The last time he made an official contribution was 2015, and it was money largely from the concert he did there. And it was over $100,000. It was like $130-something. And that was the last like official donation he made. And that was the same year that they had lost all state support. So then it became completely all volunteer donation based, even though it was largely that in the first. It was, you know, a lot of that in the first place. It was run by It was a lot of volunteers and stuff. The thing, like, my issue with this Rhymefest thing, and the thing that makes it so messy and like kind of sad, is because I'm learning about all this shit from the situation, but that's because I'm like willing to learn. A lot of people aren't willing to learn. A lot of people just want to hear it and be like, ooh, messiness, and then they start picking a side. Well, this is how I feel about Kanye, therefore bash negative, but I don't really give a fuck about Chicago or what's going on with these kids either. Or
that's true.
I heard a thing about Rhymefest, so discredit Rhymefest at all turn. Or I love Kanye that much that I'm going to discredit Rhymefest no matter what anybody else at the organization doing or what they're doing altogether. Because you also don't give a fuck about Chicago or the kids. But if you're willing to look I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the people who go that route. I'm saying.
I'm going to say, like, Dave, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just a comedian on a podcast.
I know. I'm saying, like, that's the sad part of what gets lost in.
We don't even got no sponsors, man. What you talking about?
What are you talking about? Yo, when we got, I thought we had a match.
I got no money to be donated, man. They say I ain't care about them. They want to listen. They can listen for free.
Yo, man. Now Rob is when I was talking about kids. Isn't it weird how it turns like that, Alex?
Nah. Rob loved the kids.
But you know what I'm saying is that the way this whole thing entered, and that's on Rhymefest, you know, there was a better way to go about it. I mean, I don't know. There was a different way definitely to go about it. I don't know if it would have been better, but that's where we're at.
It's a responsibility that only certain people would have to have in a rap battle, you know? I don't ever remember in a Ice Cube Cypress Hill rap battle someone being like, yeah, but what are you doing about for the kids? You know what I'm saying? Like it's just kind of one of those things where it's like only certain artists are held out to that esteem. And a part of that is some of the stuff Kanye was talking about, you know, on his first projects. A part of that is some of the stuff that Rhymefest probably contributed to. Like, he is a co-writer on Jesus Walks.
Yeah. I mean...
And he has a Grammy for Jesus Walks, you know? Also, Rhymefest was a co-creator of the show Alligator Boots that never happened. The show, which is the place where Kanye and Kim Kardashian first met. So Rhymefest thought he was going to be co-creator, director, producer of this comedy show, and was preparing to make that a shift in his life. And he said that he said in an interview that afterwards that he was in a dark place after that show didn't go. So it must be a total mind mess up to see Kanye with the girl that they casted on this show go right off into the sunset. Meanwhile, he's trying to pick up the pieces from those events.
I think it's, I mean, well, you, I mean, pick up pieces from those events, but also be one of the legs of this organization that has his mom's name. I don't, now here's the thing. I don't, as far as holding Kanye to a standard when it comes to what goes on, I don't really think it's ever, you know, I don't think you can tell somebody what they should or shouldn't do with their money, but I think if you judge somebody for what they do or don't do with their money, if that speaks to, you know, if that in your mind speaks to somebody's character, if you want to voice that, that's, you know, I don't see no problem with that. It's just the issue for me is Kanye's not talking, or he's not talking through his own channels. I don't know if that is him or Kim, but why is Kim talking like a little too familiar about these things, which she also, as far as record shows, hasn't been a part of either? Why is she threatening to like take an organization away that's got actual people involved who've been doing the work and just say like, I'm gonna give it to my kids so they can do it? And how, like, that's reckless.
Yes, it is reckless, and I think that it was silly to involve, to, you know, threaten to involve a 1-year-old and a 4-year-old. And you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like I think maybe, I don't know what Rhymefest, I don't know what his resume is. I don't know what he did before music, but I don't know if he might have been the best equipped to run an organization. Well, like,
he's not the one like running it. It's not like we keep, and I hate this part of it, is we keep saying like what Rhymefest is doing. It, like, it's not just him. He's not the guy who is the main, is like at least the only one deciding what gets spent on what or what goes where. And that's what it's like. That's like another frustrating thing that, you know, people aren't learning about because they just see two dudes or two sides going at it. It makes no sense to you know, put your foot in the ground and just be like, nah, well, she say he misappropriated funds. First of all, you can't be saying people misappropriated funds and not give an example of how they misappropriated funds. You can't be like, oh, he's spending money on like personal stuff. What personal stuff? Show me some numbers. Show me something beside, I mean, if you're going to like put all your sides in a row, and this is one of the things I have a beef with fucking, I don't know how to say I have a beef, but I'm kind of disappointed in Team Kanye Daily, because they've decided, oh, we are going to be the guys who find a situation with like three people who had a bad
experience. Chris wants smoke.
Nah, they want to see, okay, we found three people who had, they had a bad experience with this place, and they want to call Rhymefest and call Rhymefest out and Dinah's house out. They want to call specifically Rhymefest. They said they don't really have beef with anybody else there. Just him, which sounds awful, like the same kind of inside turmoil that goes on anywhere. It's people that got beef with Bill Gates and Steve Jobs because, yo, we had a bad experience once. But you don't speak to the larger whole of what people do. But Team Kanye Daily decided. They decided this is what we're going to run with because they can disparage this dude, but they're not sharing any of the other positive stuff. That's not fair.
You hear that? You hear that? You hear that, Team Kanye Daily? Call Chris Mr. Chimney. He wants smoke.
I mean, you know,
from Chevy Chase, Maryland.
You took on you've been taking on all the other podcasts. I had to go with somebody.
Hey man, hey, these other podcasts out here, man. They don't want it. They don't want it.
I don't know, man. It's all negative. But we got an album coming out Friday.
We got an album coming out Friday, man. Hopefully all this is addressed. You know what I'm saying?
I feel like
I'm fluent in Whoopty Scoop, but everybody else isn't. So hopefully, you know what I'm saying, it's addressed in a way that the rest of y'all can catch up. Because, you know, personally, I already know, you know what I'm saying, Whoopy Scoop, Scoop, Scoop-de-whoop-doo. You know what I'm saying, Whoopy whoop whoop.
I don't know what the fuck just said, Rob, but.
The answer to everything. The answer, that was the answer to Rhymefest, Drake, you know what I'm saying, the MAGA hat, all of it. But, you know, y'all understand in 2018.
Or June 2nd. It's only 6 days away. 5 days
away. I'm excited.
I will say this, and this is the one thing that nobody could take away.
Oh, we're not gonna talk about Azalea Banks.
How much time we got? All right, well, you wanna throw her ass in this conversation?
I don't know. She jumped in and talking about Kanye didn't feed her. And then came back later and said Kanye did feed her.
What about the Rihanna part? Wasn't it Rihanna part?
What was the Rihanna part?
I thought it was another part about, she said, like, was it Rihanna didn't feed her too or something like that?
She said something about Kanye flew in the chef, but the chef wasn't for everybody. The chef was for him and just had people in there, you know, without anything to eat, you know, thinking they think of them fly all the way to Hawaii and be hungry.
I mean, maybe, dude, we don't know if banana pudding was or was not off.
Here you go. Here you go, man. You did so well. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't, come on, man. Team Kanye Daily's listening, dog. You know what I'm saying? You can't be out here slipping. You know what I mean?
Slipping? You don't want to talk about this, about people not being like, you're grown, you're an adult.
I don't know how true that is. I know we've talked about the chef being flown out to Wyoming. We thought the chef was for everybody. You know, it is interesting if that's true. Maybe Azalea Banks, you know, maybe she didn't get food, but then other people did get food. But she did talk about other sessions where she did get food. So, you know.
Now that we're talking about it, I realize how ridiculous it sounds, whether or not Azalea Banks got fed.
Why does that sound ridiculous?
I'm just talking
about. She talked about it in the thread. This is the thing. Twitter, if anything, it's like, you know, when things go out into Twitter, then it's anybody can, you know, receive it. So, you know, somebody could take it, you know, basically the invoice was out there and then, you know, boom, Rhymefest took it and turned it into something else. And then now we're talking about Kanye's character. Boom. And then Azalea Banks took it in somewhere else. And now the internet's like, well, Beyonce feeds her people. Madonna feeds her people. This is messed up. Kanye don't feed their people. Then there's plenty of other people chiming in. I got food. I got plenty of food. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, that's what happens when you have these discussions online. If you really wanted to help people, you would have this discussion in private. If you really had an issue with somebody, you would have discussion in private. So really what it is entertainment made to look like private conversations, but it's not.
Or are people using what should be private conversations for entertainment? For some people, yeah. Some people just angry.
So some people, yeah, some people just get angry. Some people using what they read in interviews as jabs. You know, it's all kind of stuff going on.
I do, because I feel like we got to bring this back around. I do feel like a lot of people, you know, remember I feel like last couple weeks episodes we talked about, you know, people saying like, you got to cancel Kanye. And will you cancel Kanye or not? And I did see a lot of people just like, you committed too early. And then when you heard the beats on Daytona, all of a sudden you were like, well, I don't want to miss out on all the fun.
Oh, no. Them people claiming they canceled. I mean, they're going to be listening with a magnifying glass.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they still going to be listening, you know.
But.
And they're supposed to drop 1 million Yeezys in July, and so we shall see who's going to get these cream whites when they're available.
I didn't read all that yet, but if there's more shoes out, I mean, that's going to kill resale, right? At least for that shoe.
It's going to kill resale, but then, you know, I mean, they're the all white ones, so people could customize them, write on them as they will. It might the be, fuck? You know.
Who's going to write on them? I'm not even going into
it. I would. I'm writing Whoopity Scoop.
God damn it.
And then on the other one, I'm writing Scoopity Whoop.
All right, Rav, I'm going to let you finish, but I feel like that's the end of the podcast. I feel like we covered all the ground we needed to before the next album comes out. Would you say
so? Hey, man,
something?
Hey, lead with love, man. Kanye, he told us we had to love Donald Trump, so we got to love Drake too, man. I'm not, you know what I'm saying? I done gave up on too many of my favorite rappers, so yeah. I ain't gonna give
all
up.
Your idols
I ain't
have
giving up
rivals,
on Drake,
rap.
Man. Yeah, man. So hey, man. Hey, I'm cool with Drake though. I don't want no smoke. You know what I'm saying?
I'm glad you said that because we don't know if he was working on something for you right now. He's that fast.
Hey, definitely. Man. Hey, I ain't gonna mess with him during album mode. You know what I'm saying?
All right. You got anything to plug before we get out of here?
Yeah, man. Cincinnati, you asked for it. You tweeted that if I did a show in Cincinnati, you guys would come out, and we ended up putting the show together. So on June 2nd, the day after Kanye album drops, I will be in Cincinnati. Look out for me there. Yeah, man.
Every week, we'll be back next week with another episode. So stay tuned.
And it's going to be crazy. We're going to have a whole album.
What? I thought you had Was that it?
Yeah, man. Hey, man. Team Kanye Daily, man. Don't send your killers for me, man. I didn't do it.
Oh, fuck. Oh, thank you, man. It's good to know who the loyal people are.
At Chris Daniels.
Real friends.
That, man.
Real friends,
hey,
everybody.
Hey. Team Kanye Daily, when you get the invoice from Chris Daniels, send that to Rob's house, man. Because, you know.
All right. That's it. Peace.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit ForeverDogPodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.